Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Rocket Nation. Welcome to another installment of Rocket Radio Blast. My apologies about the delay. All sorts of crazy stuff has been happening today, this week. And a lot of crazy stuff has been happening in the NFL and even outside the NFL. There's been so many crazy things that's been going on the past week, really since the weekend. Yours truly has got a lot to look forward to. I can't even begin to describe to you what the feeling is right now. But nonetheless, we got a show to do tonight, so let's get to it. Like I said, it was a crazy week this past weekend in the NFL divisional round of the playoffs. Now, we're down to four teams. We got the conference championships coming up this upcoming weekend for the right to go to Super Bowl 53 in Atlanta at the Georgia Dome. And we got four teams, two games, and both games are rematches from the regular season. One slight difference, one game between two teams will be held at a different stadium. That would be the Chiefs and the Patriots. The matchup they had, their thriller matchup earlier this year, was back in Foxborough at Gillette Stadium. Now it will be at the legendary Arrowhead Stadium in KC. Meanwhile, the Rams will take on the Saints in a rematch at the Superdome. Those two teams met earlier this year in another thriller game. And we'll get to those games a little bit later. But we're going to recap what went down this past weekend. I want to start with that Cowboys and Rams game. First of all, C.J. Anderson deserves a ton of credit because he was running quite wild in that game on Saturday night. There were a lot of holes on that Dallas defense. For a defense that was supposed to be regarded as one of the top defenses in football this year, they certainly had trouble stopping the run. I noticed that C.J. Anderson, Todd Gurley was just having their way with the Cowboys' defense. And I was a bit surprised to see that because going into the game, you knew, and honestly, a lot of us felt that whichever running back was going to be more productive, that team was going to win the game. Now, I will say this much. I also felt that the quarterbacks really had to step it up, too, to take pressure off those running backs so it doesn't make it seem like those running backs had to be the ones to dominate in order for their teams to be successful. Because let's face it, it's a pass-driven league now, so quarterbacks really have to raise their games up a whole lot more. I also believe that the defenses were also going to be pivotal. Whichever defenses were going to be successful, more than likely that team was going to win. Because we did have some very good offenses play this past weekend. We had teams that were capable of scoring points during the regular season. Go into these matchups, and your team that had a first-round bye, you better get ready because these teams are going to be ready to come at you. They're going to throw everything at you, including the kitchen sink and the bathroom sink and maybe even a toilet. So I feel like we saw some games that – some were close. There were a couple that were close. We had a couple games that were decided by double digits, and we had one game where it was just totally one-sided. Well, not necessarily one-sided. It was almost like a tale of two halves. One team got off to a fast start, and they couldn't do anything after that. This Cowboys-Rams game, I felt that it was going to really come down to the running game. The Rams ran for 270 rushing yards. That's most all-time in a game in Rams history. Think about that. Some of the great running backs that have played for the Rams, Eric Dickerson, Marshall Faulk, Steven Jackson, even though Steven Jackson didn't do it for a lengthy period of time, but he was good and he was great those years, most of those years he was with the Rams from the mid to the late 2000s. So you felt that the running game was going to be pivotal. It was. It was. Now, the Rams struck first. They started off with a field goal, a 25-yard field goal by Greg Zuerlein. The Cowboys responded on their very next possession. They went down the field, 56 yards on seven plays, Dak Prescott to Amari Cooper for a 29-yard touchdown. You're thinking, okay, Dallas is going to make this interesting. For whatever reason after that, it was almost as if they couldn't really do anything. It was just nothing happening. Okay. After that, the Rams, they get the ball, and they get another field goal. So, okay, Rams offense getting up to a slow start. The Cowboys' next four possessions all result in punts. nothing with the ball. And only one of those drives only went nine plays. That started from their 19-yard line, but they only managed to rally up 7 total yards on that drive. So they had to punt the ball. Now, meanwhile, after that first punt by Dallas, the Rams scored a touchdown. And they pretty much took control of this game at that point. The Cowboys punt the ball again. The Rams score another touchdown. They're pretty much in control. They did miss a field goal, the Rams did, before halftime, but they were still pretty much in control. Cowboys, again, was punting. They didn't score a touchdown until late in the third quarter with Ezekiel Elliott with a one-yard touchdown run. They tried to make this a game, but it just wasn't happening, unfortunately. The Rams held on to win 30-22. This is a game that really came down to the running game. The running game was just absolutely explosive for the Rams. And again, the Cowboys had been suspect defensively against the run throughout the season. But I also think that there was an issue where the defense just didn't show up. The defense just had too many holes, and they got exposed. Okay, so Ezekiel Elliott only had 20 carries for 47 yards in this game, despite the touchdown. That's pretty impressive. Holding arguably the best running back in football right now to 47 yards. That was very, very impressive. Hats off to the Rams defense. Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh, those guys are key to lead. Marcus Peters, they really stepped their games up for this. These guys, most of them that came over as free agents, they did what they were expected to do for the most part of the game. Meanwhile, C.J. Anderson had his best performance I've seen since his Denver days. 23 carries for 123 yards and a couple touchdowns. Todd Gurley adding 115 yards of his own and a score. Jared Goff only threw for 186 yards. He only completed maybe 53% of his passes, and that's all he really needed to do. He was more of a game manager. The running game really, the running game and the defense of the Rams, to me, was the story. And I also think that for the most part, the Rams' offensive line did a pretty good job of protecting Jared Goff in this game because there were no sacks. There was only one sack in the game, and that was by the Rams. And honestly, I felt like that was also a big key. Protect Jared Goff, run the football, run it down the Cowboys' throats as much as you can, and just avoid turnovers, avoid turning the ball over, and you got a good shot to win. When you're playing up against a team that supposedly has a strong defense, one of the things that you want to do is you want to be as explosive as possible, but you don't want to make any mistakes. And I felt like whichever quarterback was going to make less mistakes in this game, that team had a chance to win. And the Rams really took advantage of the opportunities that they had when it came down to the Cowboys having to go those consecutive drives of punting the football. The Rams just kept going down the field and scoring, even though they had that one drive that ended with a missed field goal before halftime. But they made up for it by just continuing to rally up yards on the ground and just put up more points on the board, keep the Cowboys neutralized on both sides of the ball. They did a fantastic job of doing that, and the Rams are moving on. There were some people that felt the Cowboys had a chance, and I was one of those guys that felt the Cowboys had a chance because I thought, okay, if they just pound the ball with Zeke, maybe give him 25, 30 carries, let's have this like a matchup of running backs that can try to outduel each other. Because I think we were all looking forward to that matchup. Whichever running back was going to be more productive, that team was going to win. But I don't think the Cowboys expected C.J. Anderson to have the type of performance that he did because he was running wild. I mean, this dude was running like the cops was chasing after him. My man was just killing it on the ground game, 120 yards. If I can't recall, that's probably the most he's had since his days in Denver when the Broncos were going to the Super Bowl and the Broncos were in the playoffs those consecutive years from 2012 through 2015 when they won their last Super Bowl. So hats off to the Rams. They're moving on. They did what they needed to do. And I'll give the Cowboys props. They had a productive season. They might have took over when the time was right for them to clinch that division, when it seemed like the Eagles weren't going to make the playoffs, when the Redskins faltered, and the Giants, well, the Giants had just been terrible all year. But I just honestly felt like, you know, they played well, but I think this is what's probably going to happen. Jerry Jones is probably going to have to make a coaching change. Sure, he loves Jason Garrett. Jason Garrett was a backup quarterback in Dallas throughout the Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith, Michael Irvin era. We get it. But they're going to need some more pieces. I think the Cowboys could certainly do more defensively, and I think they should add some more help on the offensive line. I think they need another Jason Witten type of tight end. They need some production. They need, you know, something. They need a spark. Maybe they just ran into a buzzsaw in the Rams, perhaps. But I'm not going to say all is lost. We'll see what this team looks like next year. Regardless if Jason Garrett is still there or not, we'll see what they look like. But the Rams are moving on, and they're getting ready to take on a Saints team I thought was buried in the sand this past Sunday. So the Saints took on the defending champion Eagles, and they came back. It looked like this game was over. The Eagles were up 14-0. I mean, it was almost as if the Eagles could do no wrong. It felt like the Eagles were going to go into the same stadium that they got smacked silly 48-7 about 2 or 3 months ago and pull off the upset. And it probably wouldn't have been much of an upset because the Eagles are the defending champions. But I'll say this much. I felt like the Eagles had a chance because, look, sometimes, and if you notice in the NFL, when it comes to playoff matchups, you might notice that one team blows out a team at home during the regular season. When they go to play them in the playoffs in a rematch, such isn't the case. It's almost like that team that lost badly comes. We've seen this happen dozens of times. Drew Brees threw an interception to start the opening drive for the Saints on the very first play from scrimmage. Now, keep in mind, Drew Brees had only thrown one interception at home all season. He starts off the game with a pick. The Eagles get the ball. They score. They end up taking the lead. And it was a bad pass by Drew Brees. He tried to go deep middle for Ted Ginn, and it got picked off. And you could tell he was frustrated going back to the sideline. He knew that he messed up on that play, though. So the Eagles get the ball. They score. Nick Foles with a 37-yard pass to Matthews, their tight end who catches it. It was an impressive catch, too. I think it was Jason Matthews. I think his first name is Jason. I apologize. But he catches it. He scores. And it just seemed like the Eagles were going to really, really pull off the upset. I honestly felt like this was their time, that they was about to make it happen, okay? And I felt that when they went up 14-0, I said, okay, well, let's see what the Saints are really made of. Because it hasn't been that very often that the Saints have been down 14-0 at their own home, inside their own stadium, over the years, since their last Super Bowl back in 2009. The Saints are one of those teams that you got to strike on them early, but you got to finish them off. You cannot allow them to have any confidence thinking that they can come back and beat you. I think the Eagles not necessarily just took their foot off the gas, but the Saints made adjustments. They adjusted well. So the Eagles actually, on their first two drives, they scored two touchdowns. Nick Foles threw a touchdown, and then he ran for a quarterback sneak to put Philly up 14-0. Now, keep in mind, after that first touchdown, the Saints got the ball. They went three and out. Three plays, 0 yards. They punted. Philadelphia marched down the field, 75 yards for their second score. Saints get the ball back. They punt again. And then Nick Foles throws an interception on Philly's next possession. And that's where you don't want to make a mistake, because you could be up 14 or 21-0. The last thing you want to do is turn the ball over and give the ball back to the team and give them some confidence. Because what did the Saints do when they got their next possession? They went down the field and scored a touchdown in the second quarter. 12 plays, 84 yards, a 2-yard touchdown pass by Drew Brees. It was almost like, okay, you could feel the egg on the Eagles' side of the field cracking. Pretty much what happened. So the Eagles get the ball. Actually, the next three possessions by both teams were punts. Philly punted twice, sandwiched over a Saints punt. But then the Saints get the ball and score the field goal to go to be down 14-10 at halftime. Philadelphia pretty much punted. They had four possessions in the second half. The first three were punt. And none of those possessions were more than five plays. Five plays. Think about this. Five plays. A total of 35 yards on those three possessions. Just a total of 35 yards. Meanwhile, the Saints get a touchdown. Okay, so their first possession in the second half is a touchdown. They take plays, 112 yards, 11 and a half minutes of time of possession on that one drive. 11 and a half minutes, okay? That's total domination right there. And the Eagles could still do nothing. The Saints get a field goal to put them up 20-14. Philly punts. Saints end up missing a field goal, which would have put them up 23-14. And then they throw another interception. So it wasn't Nick Foles' best game. Drew Brees had started off the game 4 of 9 for 80 yards with that INT, positively flawless. So the Saints won the game 20-14. This was almost like a tale of two halves, even though the Saints scored their first touchdown to be down 14-7 before halftime. But they adjusted. And you knew that it wasn't going to be a high-scoring game because sometimes in the playoffs, when you're playing a guy or a team that you beat in a regular season, you might have put a lot of points up on them. They're going to adjust a little bit, and they're going to make you fight for the points. So the Eagles did make the Saints fight for their points, but the Eagles couldn't do anything. It was like, what happened? Did they take their foot off the gas? Seemed like the Saints made more adjustments. They just outplayed them more after Philly was up 14-0. That's what it felt like to me, okay? So you saw what happened with that. Hats off to Drew Brees and company. They came back and won. And we've seen teams go up 14-0 in the playoffs and admit nothing. I hate to bring this up because this is something I haven't gotten over. But back in 2014 in the wild card round, the Lions were on the road against the Cowboys, 14-0. Despite the controversy that happened at the end, I'm still sick to my stomach about it. Every time I think about it, it makes my skin crawl. But the points were on the road by the road team, 14-0, and they end up losing almost by the same score. Only difference was Detroit added the field goal later in the game, but they lost 20-17. So bottom line is that 14-0 means absolutely nothing in this day and age. Maybe back in the 50s and 60s, maybe even the 70s or 80s, rather, 14-0, you buried them. But now, not so much. And I notice a lot of teams get too comfortable when they go up double digits in a game. You could be up 10-0 and be too comfortable. You can't do that. You got to keep fighting. You got to keep going. And I don't think the Eagles made enough adjustments. And I saw Nick Foles struggle, which is something you don't often see him do. So now the question for the Eagles next year is, what are they going to do with this quarterback situation? Carson Wentz is yet to start a playoff game. Nick Foles has been the guy. He's been the guy that helped them hoist that trophy last year. So now what are they going to do? Can you keep both guys? I mean, it's not possible. It is possible, but it's not possible. Doug Peterson's going to have a lot to think about this offseason. And I think the Eagles are going to look back and say, man, we had them against the ropes. What happened? So hats off to the Saints. They are going to be hosting the NFC Championship game against the Rams, and we're going to preview that a little bit later. But before we continue, we're going to take a little break, and we're going to go back, and we're going to look at the AFC games, all right? The AFC playoff matches that went down this past weekend. We'll preview that. Well, we'll recap that, and we'll preview the upcoming conference championship game. So stay tuned, folks. This is Rocket Radio Blast here on blogtalkradio.com. We'll be right back. Check the box.
it in it. I, the abstract.
And me, the five-footer. I kicks the mad style, so step off the Frankfurter.
Yo, Fife, you remember that routine? That we used to make spiffy like Mr. Clean?
A tidbit, a spidgin. I don't get the message, so you got to
okay.
run the pigeon.
You're on point, Fife.
All the time, Tip.
You're on point, Fife.
All the time, Tip.
You're on point, Fife.
All the time, Tip.
So then grab the microphone and let your words rip.
Now here's a funky introduction of how nice I am. Tell your mother, tell your father, send a telegram. I'm like an energizer because you see I last long. My crew is never ever whack because we stand strong. Now if you say my style is whack, that's where you're dead wrong. I slay that body and El Segundo then push it along. You'll be a fool to reply the Fife is not the man. Cause you know and I know that you know who I am. A special shout out piece goes out to all my pals you see. And a middle finger goes for all you punk MCs. Cause I love it when you whack MCs despise me. They get vexed, I will next to none can test me. I'm just a plot MC who's 5'3" and very brave. On top remaining, no home training cause I misbehave. I come correct and full effect of all my holes in check. And before I get the butt, the gym must be a wreck. You see, my aura's positive, I don't promote no junk. See, I'm far from a bully and I ain't a punk. Extremity of rhythm, yeah, that's what you heard. So just clean out your ears and just check the word.
Check the vibe.
The Boulevard of Linden, we used to kick routines and the presence was fitting. It was I, the Viper.
And me, the abstract. The rhymes were so rumpin' that the brothers rolled the Zach.
Hey, yo, Tip, do you recall when we used to rock those fly routines on your cousin's block?
Let me see. Damn, I can't remember. I'll receive the message and you will play the sender.
You're on point, Tip.
All the time, Fife.
You're on point, Tip.
Yeah, all the time, Fife.
You're on point, Tip.
You're all the time, Fife.
So play the Resurrector and give the dead some life.
Okay, if knowledge is the key, then just show me the lock. Got the scrawny legs, but I move just like Lou Brock with speed. I'm agile, plus I'm worth your while. 100% intelligent black child. My opera presentation sizzles the retina. How far must you go to gain respect? Well, it's kind of simple. Just remain your own, or you'll be crazy, sad, and alone. Industry rule number 4080. Record company people are shady. So kids, watch your back, cause I think they smoke crack. I don't doubt it. Look at how they act. We're talking better things like a hip-hop forum. Pass me the rock and I'll score them with the quorum and proper. What you say, hammer? Proper. Rap is not pop if you call it that and stop.
Welcome back to Rocket Radio Blast. It's after 7:30. We got another 25 minutes left of airtime. I just want to switch gears over to the AFC. And these were the two games that were decided by double digits. Both of them were in the AFC. The Colts and the Chiefs. Going into that game, I thought about the intangibles because the Colts and Chiefs have met each other four times in the playoffs prior to this past weekend, dating back to 1995. And all four victories were by the Colts, including that incredible thriller back in the 2013 wild card round where the Chiefs were up 38-10 and the Colts came back and won. The Chiefs had a 28-point lead and the Colts came back and won. It was tied for the second largest comeback in NFL history when the 49ers came back to beat the Saints from 28 down back in 1980. That was Joe Montana's second year in the NFL. And that game ultimately led to him being arguably the greatest quarterback of all time. I think that he's still the GOAT as far as the quarterback. He's not my favorite quarterback of all time, but I still think he's the GOAT, okay? But that's just my opinion. We can all agree to disagree, especially now in this day where that GOAT term is being thrown around a little bit too much. So two of those other instances were in 1995 in 2003 in a divisional round. And I bring those up because the Chiefs in 1995 had home field just like they do this year. And they lost to a 9-7 coach team. They were one and done. 2003, Peyton Manning and company went up there to Arrowhead and beat Trent Green and company 45-35 in a game in which neither team punted, by the way. Every possession the Colts had resulted in scores. It was one of the most entertaining playoff games I ever won. I was just disappointed that the Chiefs didn't win because I picked the Chiefs to win that game at that time. And then the other matchup was in 2006 in a wild card round in Indy. So the two times that the Colts beat the Chiefs on the road in the playoffs was during the division round, and two other times they beat them at home was in the wild card round. This game took place at Arrowhead. This time the Chiefs was not about to let a fifth time be the charm. They won 31-13. They pretty much jumped on the Colts from the beginning. This is the AFC championship appearance for Kansas City for the first time since 1993. And this will be an interesting game. This will be a very interesting game between the Chiefs and Patriots. I'll get to that in a second. But this is an interesting matchup because I thought the Colts' defense was starting to come on strong a little bit. They was looking really, really good against the Texans. But I'll say this much. There's a big difference right now between the Chiefs' offense and the Texans' offense. The Chiefs' offense has just been that much more explosive this season than the Texans' offense has. Who knows? Deshaun Watson's probably the same productive quarterback that Patrick Mahomes is if Deshaun Watson was taking snaps under center for Kansas City. We'll never know that. But I think that the Chiefs' defense wanted to show everybody, yeah, we can hang with these guys. We can play. Because all year long, we kept talking about how wonderful the Chiefs' offense was. But we don't really give the defense much credit. And rightfully so, because the defense did give up a lot of points and a lot of yards throughout the season. I think the Chiefs' defense was determined. See, this is what I like about the playoffs sometimes. Teams can adjust. We tend to forget that teams can't make adjustments just because, you know, what they did in the regular season and all of a sudden they can't do the same thing in the playoffs. Yeah, you can. In fact, if you're a team that has a first-round bye, that's the best time to make adjustments because when you get to watch these games as a coach, as a player, you can say, okay, this is what we need to do. We need to figure this out. We got to get after this guy. We got to make some mistakes. We got to force mistakes. We got to force them to be uncomfortable. And like I said, the Chiefs jumped on the Colts from the jump. Their first three possessions resulted in scores of the first quarter alone. They scored a touchdown right from the beginning, right from the jump. Down their first two possessions resulted in touchdowns for the Chiefs. Like I said, their offense was just absolutely dominant. Damian Williams is probably going to make people forget about Kareem Hunt because he had 129 yards rushing in this game. And Tyreek Hill had a 36-yard touchdown run of his own. But Damian Williams was another big story. He played fantastic. Patrick Mahomes completed 27 of 41 passes with 278 yards. He didn't throw no touchdowns, but he didn't throw no interceptions either. He protected the ball, and he protected himself too. I thought the Colts' defense was probably going to try and challenge the Chiefs' offense because I wanted to see that matchup. Well, that didn't happen at all. The second touchdown the Chiefs scored, because the first touchdown, Damian Williams had a 10-yard touchdown run on a shotgun rushing attempt, by the way. And then that second touchdown was a Tyreek Hill 36-yard touchdown run. And then the Chiefs added a field goal. This was just the first quarter. They were up 17-0 in the first quarter. The Colts' only touchdown came off of a block punt, which was actually kind of spectacular a little bit. The Chiefs had the ball. They only went five plays. They only managed to muster 11 yards on a drive that started from their own 18-yard line. What happened was they had a couple penalties that hurt them. There was one particular penalty on the Colts' defense on a third down where it was neutral zone infraction. So the Chiefs ended up getting a first down, but there was a false start. So it was first and 15. Then it ended up being first and 25 on a holding penalty. So they're first and 15 at their own 24. And then Damian Williams gets a one-yard run. Then Damian Williams catches a four-yard pass. So it's third and 20, incomplete pass by Patrick Mahomes for Travis Kelce. So it's fourth down. Dan Colquitt, his punt is blocked, and it's recovered. It's recovered in the end zone by the Colts. It was a pretty spectacular play, a spectacular play. That was their only touchdown of the game. And it really didn't mean that much because the next time the Colts – because the next time the Chiefs got the ball, they scored a touchdown on their very next drive. So at that point, the game was pretty much over. And then the Colts got the ball, and they missed the field goal before halftime. So that was it. And there was also a couple fumbles in this game. Andrew Luck had a fumble on a sack fumble, actually. It was Justin Houston. Well, Justin Houston recovered the fumble. And we don't talk about him as much anymore. But he is still a good defensive player. He's still one of the better linebackers in football. I don't care what anybody says. So despite that, the Chiefs pretty much was in control. The Colts added a second touchdown. See, I forget that, you know, when you score 13 points, you're only thinking it's just one touchdown. But the Colts did score a second touchdown. But what happened was, after that touchdown, they missed the extra point. So that's what kept them at 13 instead of 14. The Chiefs got the ball back, and they ended up scoring again. Dan Williams, the other Williams, scored a six-yard touchdown run to pretty much put this game away. That would be Denard Williams. And that was pretty much it. Or Darryl Williams, I'm sorry. So the Chiefs won the game 31-13. So they're automatically hosting the AFC Championship game. And the team that they're hosting it against, the Patriots. Patriots took care of business, beating the Chargers 41-28. This game was pretty much over after the first quarter. I wanted the Chargers to win so bad because I wanted Phillip Rivers to at least compete one more time, make another deep run in the Super Bowl because you don't know how many more years he's got left in him. This is his 14th season in the league. Who knows? Phillip Rivers could play another two or three more years. But how many more opportunities can you get if you're a quarterback that's been playing for a long time and you haven't won one? How many more opportunities are you going to get? So the Patriots pretty much jumped on the Chargers from the start. Like I said, this game was – it looked like the Chargers were going to make something happen. Patriots score first, Chargers score, and the Patriots score a touchdown. The Chargers' mistake was after their second possession, they went three and out pretty much. They got three plays. They just managed to get 1 yard. They punt the ball. Patriots score a touchdown. By the way, this is just the first quarter. The first quarter, okay, they're up 21-7. I was like, yeah, there's no way the Chargers are going to compete. And I thought they could because I thought there would be opportunities where they could put some points up on that Patriots defense that at times have struggled throughout the season. And the Chargers' offense has been so explosive. This is probably the most explosive I've seen the Chargers' offense this year since their heyday from 2004 through 2009 when they were the most talented team in football during that five-year period when they had LaDainian Tomlinson and Antonio Gates was brought in the form. And even when Drew Brees was quarterback in there, I haven't seen the Chargers' offense that explosive. Well, maybe since 2013, when the Chargers could do. Once they found themselves in a hole, that was it. Because you're not going to come back and beat the Patriots at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough. It's just not going to happen. So Patriots pretty much handled the Chargers 41-28. They're going on to face the Chiefs in a rematch from the earlier regular season matchup. And that being said, we're going to take one more break. When we come back, we're going to preview these AFC Championship games. We got matchups of one seed versus two seeds. I guess that was meant to be that way, right? Yeah, kind of. We've been seeing a lot of that more frequently over the years, one seeds versus two seeds in either conference. All right. Well, that being said, We're going to go ahead and take another break. Stick around. This is Rocket Radio Blast on blogtalkradio.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Rocket Radio Blast at 7:50. We got less than 10 minutes of airtime. And now we're going to be ready for two more games to determine who will participate in Super Bowl 53 next month in the Georgia Dome in Atlanta. I can't wait. I can't wait for these games. So we got two games, two rematches from the regular season. We got the Patriots and the Chiefs. This time this matchup will be at Arrowhead. And we got the Rams going back to the Superdome to face the Saints. Who do I think are going to win? will say this much. I think the Saints will beat the Rams because I just don't know if the Rams will be able to have enough. And I think I'm going to take the Chiefs to beat the Patriots. I'm going to take both home teams to win. I think one of those teams will exact revenge, I believe. And if I had to pick one team that will have a better chance of exacting revenge from the regular season, that's the Chiefs. I don't expect the two teams that won their matchups during the regular season to win because it's going to be a tougher call, particularly for the Patriots, because Arrowhead Stadium is going to be jumping through the roof. Now, that Rams-Saints game will take place Sunday at 3 o'clock. The Patriots and Chiefs will be at 6:30. Either way, they're going to be fantastic matchups. Here's how I think that both teams have an edge, all the teams that have an edge. I think the Rams can try and duplicate what Philly did a little bit. That is, go down the field, force turnovers. Now, the Rams, they got the defense to do that. And Dominican Sue and Aaron Donald can certainly get after Drew Brees and challenge that Saints offensive line. Aqib Talib, Marcus Peters, they're going to be going up against Michael Thomas and company. It's going to be a good matchup. The Rams secondary going up against those Saints receivers. But I also think a big matchup in that game is going to be the ground game. Now, you know what you're going to get from Todd Gurley. C.J. Anderson is coming on strong now. Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara, that's going to be another big matchup. So you almost got a running back dual threat from both teams in this game. And I think, really, just like that Rams-Cowboys game, I think it's going to come down to whoever can run the ball effectively. I can't expect Jared Goff to outperform Drew Brees. He may not have to. He may not have to, because what you don't want to do is you don't want to find yourself just having aerial assault. You want to have a balanced attack. Keep Drew Brees on the sideline as much as possible. Protect the ball. Protect your quarterback, even more importantly. Manage the clock if you need to, but have a balanced attack, because when that Saints offense is on the field, they are just as explosive as it gets. You know what you're going to get from them. Now, they only managed to score just 20 points against Philly last week. If anything the Rams can take from that game is jump on them early and keep on jumping on them. And I think the Rams have a much better defensive line than the Eagles do, and I think that should spell some concerns for the Saints, particularly that offensive line. If you're Drew Brees, you got to worry about those guys getting to you all game long. I expect a lot of short passes in this game from Drew Brees, unless they run play action formats to set up the deep threat. But I expect the running backs to really become a thing, really. The running backs, not just in the ground game, but in the passing game as well. And I think that's going to be extremely critical to whichever team is expecting to win, whichever team is going to come out of there with the W to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. But I think the Saints are going to win just because I think offensively they got more weapons and they're at home. And sometimes in games like this, with matchups like this, home field can certainly play an advantage. But I'm not going to count out the Rams. I think they're going to make this a game. And I think this will be a close game than it was earlier this year. Remember, in that game, the Rams were down 35-17. They came back and tied the game before the Saints finished off with 10 unanswered points to win 45-35. So it's really going to come down to whichever quarterback does not make any mistakes. Drew Brees does not want to start off the game by throwing an interception, because the Rams can certainly jump ahead and maintain it if necessary. You don't want to find yourself being down at home early two playoff games in a row, because sometimes that second game is a little bit tougher to come out of. So I think the Rams can certainly have a shot, but I think the Saints are going to win. The Patriots and Chiefs, to me, I was kind of like wondering about this one, because I can see the Patriots going on the road and winning. However, I think what will be tough, though, is how well the Chiefs defense is going to play against Tom Brady. That's the matchup I want to see. Justin Houston and company, I want to see how they match up with Tom Brady. I want to see that. I want to see, can Justin Houston get to Tom Brady, and can he get to him often? Because you don't want to leave him open. I've always been saying about Justin Houston, he's got a little bit of that Derek Thomas in him. the late Chiefs linebacker who died back in 2000, I believe. I think it was 1999, 2000. But it was still a tragic loss. And I always say to people, buckle up your seatbelt when you're driving, people. Just buckle. Just buckle up your seatbelt. This matchup is going to be a lot more interesting because it's at Arrowhead Stadium. If this was at Gillette Stadium, I'd say the Patriots all the way. But I want to see how Patrick Mahomes is going to look when all the pressure is on him. This is his first postseason as a starter. All three other quarterbacks, all three other starting cornerbacks in these games have some postseason experience. Of course, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, they're Super Bowl champions. Jared Goff, this is his second year in the playoffs. This is just Patrick Mahomes' second playoff start. So how well he plays, to me, is going to determine a long way whether or not the Chiefs are going to go back to the Super Bowl for the first time since the 60s, since Super Bowl IV when they beat the Vikings, okay? So that being said, though, I'm going to take slightly. I think both of these games are going to be close. They should be good games. They should possibly come down to the wire. We may see one, if not both, games ending in thriller fashion because both games were thrillers between these four teams during a regular season. Can we see that same type of games be duplicated in the conference championship games where everybody's going to be watching? It's possible. It's very possible. Nonetheless, good luck to all four teams this upcoming weekend. We will be back next week, or maybe even a week after, to recap these games, and then we're going to preview Super Bowl 53. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been another installment of Rocket Radio Blast. This is Rocket signing off. Stay tuned. We got a lot going on with him, so check him out on Facebook and Instagram, all right? Till then, take care of yourselves. Get ready for a power trip. Good luck to all your teams this weekend. And we'll see y'all next time.